Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Arcade. We are Canada's video game radio show, and we are here on 92.9 Kick FM Winnipeg's indie station. For those of you who have chosen to listen on a terrestrial radio, otherwise, we are here with you on your portable device, MP3 player, perhaps on your phone, or perhaps even your laptop or old-style desktop computer, if you are choosing to listen to us on our website, thearcadeshow.com. We thank you either way, because you are here joining us for another edition. As of today, this is Friday, May 18th of the year 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, hard to believe, but we are halfway through yet another month, and I find it very disturbing, the rate at which time seems to be moving forward.
Yes, as do I. This week I'm Dennis, the Gregorian tomorrow.
Are you now?
Which I think is a nice way of explaining this this time moving forward.
Indeed. Is it related to the phenomena that we all experience of time marching on at an exorbitant rate?
Well, it could very well be, if the Gregorian tomorrow wasn't a phrase we invented. how'd you go in there for a minute, though? You almost thought it was something, right?
Sounded official. You had me convinced.
Yes, I'm going to level with you, listeners. This is something we would like a ridiculous phrase like this to catch on. Just to say, wow, I'll do that in the Gregorian tomorrow. I'll get it done in the Gregorian day. It's like, what is...
It's
the meaning is, you can leave up to yourself.
You can appropriate it for whatever your situation is at that given time. I mean, it's no different, really, than, say, referring to something as, you know, a New York minute.
Yes, or just that a general phrase like, oh, that's Chicago style.
Yes. You know, which we sometimes often hear associated with deep dish pizza or Chicago style pizza, what have you, but can sometimes be used for many other things that are not pizza related.
Yes, like what, running liquor? or any number of different things, something to do with Al Capone, perhaps.
I'd assume there's more to Chicago than
pizza and gangsters.
Yeah, I'd choose to believe. Having never visited that metropolitan area, I don't know for sure, though.
Well, the Blues Brothers took place in... a good portion of the movie took place in Chicago.
True.
That legendary car chase. Three things to do with Chicago. That's all I know. That and the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, so four things.
Yeah, four things.
All right. We better stop before there's at least a baker's dozen.
Yes, I agree.
But
yes.
Of things here, but and try and refocus on the fact that we are now trying to put forward a phrase for all of you out there that feel free to use on your own, the Gregorian tomorrow.
Yes. Go ahead, use it. You heard it here first. I guarantee you've heard it here first.
Now, this did come up in conversation when one of us, I'll take the credit, me, did in fact use the term Gregorian during the course of conversation. Now, anytime you hear someone use the term Gregorian, chances are that's the only time in the course of your day you will hear the word Gregorian being used.
Yes.
And it's really just, it's a good term, it's a good word, it's official sounding, as though it's got great historical significance to it.
Yes, and chances are you will associate it with something to do with time, which is why I think it works as a term.
Exactly.
Gregorian tomorrow.
The Gregorian tomorrow.
I'll talk to you in the Gregorian tomorrow. Even if you just mean tomorrow, it has more weight when you put the Gregorian in front of it.
Or when you're referring to a specific date, yes, I'll see you tomorrow. The Gregorian tomorrow. It's just, perhaps you're not really meaning tomorrow. Perhaps you're meaning in a day or two.
Yes, perhaps it's like, I'll talk to you in a minute, which really could mean any number of minutes.
Exactly.
Or even tomorrow.
Hours? Days even.
Yes.
It could mean anything, but this is a new one. You've heard it here first, and we will take full credit for it, the Gregorian tomorrow. In fact, we want you to get out there, use it, people, use it or lose it, and we're quite proud of ourselves with this, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So, in fact, you can even let us know how your use of the phrase has turned out, email us, thearcade@kick.fm, or drop us a line on our website, thearcadeshow.com. Let us know how it goes. We are intrigued to hear. We want those numbers to really rise, like it's a telethon. We will keep track of all advised uses of the Gregorian tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Some sort of counter chart. Well, it'll start off as a spreadsheet, and then we'll make some sort of physical construct for it, but you know where it goes from there.
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know what else we can say about the Gregorian tomorrow, so let's just move right into our first of two ludicrous lead-offs.
Which has zero transition from the Gregorian tomorrow. Just putting that out there. There's no graceful way to transition into this.
Hey, you know what? Instead, let's not even beat around the bush. Let's get right into this first ludicrous lead-off, and let's describe it using two words. Robotic asses.
Yes, we don't mean donkeys. We mean posteriors. Yes, robotic, human-looking posteriors.
Yes, you know, your backside, if you will, that which is often referred to as having junk in the trunk.
Yes. Now, you're probably thinking, what?
What? Now that we have your attention.
Now we have your attention. Robot butt. No, you're probably thinking, go on.
Your mind is simultaneously spinning and also very curious.
Yes. Now, why did we mention this? Well, do you remember a few months ago when we were talking about, well, that crazy Japanese robotics guy who made the hug simulator?
Indeed, it seems like it was just yesterday, but it was summer of last year. We spoke of the hug simulator put forward by one Nobuhiro Takahashi.
Well, he's at it again, and yes, you may have put two and two together. He made a robotic ass. There's no nice way of putting that. Well, there is a nice way of putting it, but there's not a way of putting it that makes it as disturbing sounding.
No, and I think that's the only good way we can refer to it as. We don't know why. We don't know the true motivations behind why Mr. Nobuhiro Takahashi and his team from the University of Electrocommunications have decided to take on this project. Not just take on, see it through. We are not speaking of something that has been stated to exist only in concept form. No, no, there is an actual prototype. You know what? I'm not even sure if it's a prototype, but there's a thing made.
We will be posting the video on our website, thearcadeshow.com, for you to check out.
It's
it's quite creepy.
It's really worth the 3.5 minute time investment, but that being said, perhaps you're not intrigued enough to explore this, to actually watch the video. So let's sell you a bit more on what this thing really is. We've said already that it's a robotic ass. And it is. If you were to look at it as this thing lies flat on a table, it looks like just the small of a back going down to just above the back of someone's knee. Just that middle section of your backside.
Yes.
With the focus being on the posterior.
Yes. Specifically, pantsless posterior.
Indeed. Now, as this is a project done by Nobuhiro Takahashi and the University of Electrocommunications, there's a fair amount of electronics that have gone into this robot ass.
Yeah, he's, well, really, the best way to explain the motivation behind it is to directly quote Mr. Nobuhiro Takahashi himself, because he has an interesting way of saying stuff that's really harmless and also creeping you right the crap out as he's saying it. Now, perhaps it's something that got lost in the translation.
Entirely possible.
It's entirely possible, but...
And we hope so.
But the quote here that we've got from Brian, and from Brian Ashcraft's story of... from Kotaku.com, he says that the goal of Shiri, by the way, which is what it's called, which is Japanese for buttocks, he says the goal is... to express the various emotions with organic movement of the artificial muscles. And he also said that this buttocks humanoid is a buttocks humanoid that represents emotions with visual and tactile transformation of the muscles.
Yes. Yes. The long and short of it is that he made this slab of robot ass as a means of representing emotions.
Yes. But basically, the long and the short of it is that he programmed it to be able to respond to external stimuli, like being rubbed or slapped, which is what he does in the video, to very creepy effect.
Oh, you say rub as though it's such a negative term.
Might not be safe for work. I'm just putting that out there.
Well, there's no nudity.
No, well, no, but it is lewd. I'm just going to put that out there.
If you just look at it on face value, to a certain extent, it is safe for work in that there's no profanity, there's nothing truly objectionable about it. It's a man working with his, I guess, robotic creation. however, don't watch it at work around people.
Yeah, because they're going to look at you and go, what's wrong with you? What are you doing at work? Then they're going to raise a flag with the networking people, and then they're going to look through your internet history, and then all sorts of calamities will ensue.
Guarantee you, you're being called in for a meeting with your, well, head of human resources, probably your department head as well, and
your direct supervisor, and perhaps two or three female, or male, if you're a female watching this, whoever, employees, co-workers that are concerned or were disgusted by what they perceived you to be watching.
And if you're lucky, your union representative, because
yes,
it might be necessary, depending on how this meeting goes for you.
Depending on also if you have a unionized job, which you better hope you do, if you're watching videos like this at work.
It may, you know, when you get into that meeting at work, should you actually watch this meeting at work and have it, or watch this video at work and have it, well, notice that you're watching it by other people, it may come off as, well, a bit of a, well, call for help, that they're that they're really just rallying around you, and that you're in a vulnerable state, and they want to be there to support you through whatever it is that you're dealing with, which has caused you to watch a video.
Yes.
Of a robotic ass.
Now, the thing that concerns me the most about this is where this is all leading. He's made a hugging simulator, he apparently also made a kissing simulator, and now he's made this.
A robotic ass.
Yeah, now, I'm sure everyone else is thinking exactly what I'm thinking, and I'm not going to bother saying it, what I think, but you know, I'm just afraid what our next ludicrous lead-off story involving
Mr. Takahashi
will be. I'm just putting that out there.
If you were to look at this as a jigsaw puzzle, he has a few of the main pieces down already.
Yeah, and
it's like he's got three of the corners down. He just needs that fourth one, and then he can easily start filling in the middle.
Yes.
Where it's all leading?
Well,
your imagination.
Yeah, use your imagination. We don't need to fill in that part of the picture for you.
Now, one thing I want to get back to, just before we lay this to rest, is that when you described his quotes, or read his quotes, which describe the purpose of this device, it's about conveying emotions with visual and tactile transformation of the muscles in the buttocks. And I think this is what we have to further describe here, just to paint a more vivid and clear picture in people's imaginations, in case they are driving and unable to see the video. Essentially, what this slab of posterior does is, well, it's got a synthetic skin over it, and it's got an actuator and some airbags for the butt cheeks.
Yeah, well, two airbags in specific. Actually, there's a portion of the video where he peels the skin back and shows you what it is, and it very much reminded me of those blood pressure machines that you'd see in the store. By the pharmacies, that, you know, you put your arm in, you press the button, and it whirs up, and it makes all that loud noise, and it fills up with air, and it crushes your arm, and then you hope it stops, that you don't have to call for help, and puncture the thing, and become just another news story about those blood pressure machines going wrong.
News story if you're lucky, just another statistic if you aren't.
Yes. Now, That's what it reminded me of. And of course, that leads your imagination down a whole other road that you don't want to think about either.
And it's best you not explore that path in your mind.
Exploding robot butt cheeks.
Oh boy. I'm sure that's a topic covered by Futurama.
Yes.
That I would hope for.
Yes, I would hope so.
And what it does is how this actual device, translates the emotions into something that I guess a human user would be able to understand is through, well, it can jiggle the butt cheeks. It can...
It can make them firm if it gets slapped.
Yes.
And it softens them up when it gets rubbed.
Yes, it...
that's pretty much it.
Well, and they vibrate.
Yeah. And for whatever reason.
That's the part of the video we haven't fully understood yet. Yes. Yeah. The one part that still remains a mystery in all of this is why this robotic buttocks vibrates. And when it does, the best part is when it starts vibrating, is that it makes such a horribly loud mechanical noise that it's very disturbing and off-putting. It makes you wonder, why? What else is going on here?
Yes.
It's just one of the other great mysteries of Japan.
Yes, of Nobuhiro Takahashi, of the University of Electrocommunications. Now, I think we can lay this story to rest now.
Oh, boy.
And move on to the next ludicrous lead-off, which is...
Yeah, certainly we can put this story behind us. Was that terrible?
It was terrible. I
thank you.
I don't apologize for laughing.
Nor should you.
It was... Yeah. No.
Again, just go to our website and watch the video. TheArcadeShow.com.
Or complain. Whatever you want to do. Just complain. I don't know.
You know what? If you want to complain, that's fine. We'll accept your complaints. If you want to praise, if you want to thank us for posting that video, just keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
That's more of an internal monologue thing.
Yeah.
But we'll move right along here, and we'll speak on a topic that sometimes happens when a big popular game is released. It was just very recently that Diablo 3 was finally released upon the world and proven to be very, very popular amongst the gaming public. A great many people have snatched it up in the since its release, and so much so that the servers for it have demonstrated that they really can't handle the demand that there is for them, and a little bit overloaded, people having connection issues with that. And this happens a lot when a big popular game is released, be it a game like Call of Duty, Madden, and of course with Diablo 3 now, is that the people who buy it, they get into it. They don't just, buy it, install it, play it for, a little bit and just let it sit. No, no.
No, they buy it and they take a few days off work.
Yes.
To play it.
It becomes an all-consuming portion of their life for the first few days because it's something that's had a great amount of anticipation, preamble to it.
Yes.
Almost
12 years of development.
A fair bit of development to it, especially with Diablo 3 here. So it's understandable that people are going to get full-on into the game. Now, what happens sometimes, as you mentioned, is that people can take time off work. They can begin to... Well, just neglect, forsake other aspects of their life, be it work, maybe school suffers because in the few days after this game is released. Maybe their relationships with family, with friends, can suffer as well because they become so involved and enthralled by the game.
Yes. Well, we're beating around the bush way too much with this story. Now, the meat and potatoes of this story is that... I apologize, that's terrible. you'll know in a second why. There's a French sex shop called Absolu who basically extended an olive branch, or not an olive branch, a token of we feel bad for you, for anyone who's basically lost their boyfriend or girlfriend.
Their significant other
to Diablo 3. And now, I did say sex shop.
Why would you say sex shop, though? That's so weird. What does it have to do with Diablo 3?
Because they're offering something in replacement for this lost love.
This human affection.
Yes. I don't know the most tactful way of putting this on the radio. Perhaps you can give it a try.
Well, what Absolute is doing, what they're offering, what they're extending, is that if you post a picture of yourself on Facebook holding a copy of Diablo 3, you know, the game responsible for this lack of attention and affection that you might be receiving, you also have to then notify Absolute, either through their Facebook page or through some other means. I'm sure Google and Facebook searches will aid you a bit more in this. Not being one who possesses a copy of Diablo 3 or a need for what they're offering, I can't fully speak to the process, and I don't think you can either.
No.
Of how you go about and claim your free, small, adult pleasure device.
Yes. Now, basically, what it...
Hold on. Let that sink in for a minute. Yeah. Let's not gloss over that fact just hastily.
I was trying to, like, just, you know, move right on and trudge on and not draw too much attention to
just
the...
Just plow right ahead, I see.
No. I wasn't using that terminology. Yeah, so...
Where are you going to go now? I'm intrigued.
Well,
carry this conversation.
Basically, you just find Absolute, A-B-S-O-L-O-O, on Facebook, post a picture, and I'm assuming they'll probably get in contact with you for your details or what have you, and, yeah, they'll transmit you a voucher code for this...
Small adult pleasure device,
where the wording is slightly different, but...
Yes, the tactful term is... Its size is small. I guess in the grand scheme of things, it might be big for you. Who knows? But either way, it's an adult pleasure device.
Yes, which is apparently akin to a crude javelin or simple dagger. That's
which I don't quite know what the resale value of it might be. Perhaps it's 2 gold, 3 gold, 4 gold, or a bit more. You know, depends what you can get on the open market.
Yeah, they say they're not discriminating against anyone. They say anyone whose partner has been consumed by Diablo 3 is eligible.
Indeed, not discriminating either by gender or sexual orientation. So really keeping this open to just anyone, the mass populace of those who have been widowed by
Diablo 3.
Yes, by the release of Diablo 3. And
metaphorically speaking, of course.
Sure.
I hope not, you know, actually widowed.
Well,
because if the game has murdered someone, I'm sure that would have been the ludicrous lead off instead.
You might need a bit more consolation than a small adult pleasure device.
Yes.
So, you know what?
You just love saying that now on the air.
It's one of the more tactful things I've said in a while on this program.
Tactfully dealing with touchy subjects. That's what we do here.
That is really what we do. We could easily have our own PBS program, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah. And if you still don't fully understand what we're saying, well, this is a little toy that probably Sue Johansson would have had on her show.
Though we air on Friday night, she aired on Sunday night. Just putting that out there, too. In case you don't know who Sue Johansson is, you should have enough material to Google now. Though, turn your adult filter on.
Don't do it at work.
Don't do that at work, either.
Then you are really having a conversation that you probably don't want to have.
You will be talking to the boss, and you may get fired. I'm just putting that out there.
Or he may take a new shining to you. Who knows?
Yes.
The world is a very strange place that we live in, where it is full of people who make Japanese robotic asses and sex shops who wish to cash in on the Diablo 3 craze.
Yes. Now, speaking of the Diablo 3 craze, they're, of course, moving beyond the ludicrous leadoffs now and into the regular news stories. We have to keep talking about Diablo 3 because it was the big news of the week.
It sure was.
It being released.
Indeed it was. And it's, well, as you said, 12 years in development. And anytime something that has taken 12 years in development finally gets released, that in itself becomes newsworthy.
Yeah, I mean, it just is. Like, remember when Duke Nukem Forever finally came out?
Thankfully, they beat that record by a few years. But
yeah, they didn't quite didn't quite get up to that point.
But you know what? Maybe they should have let it go for at least another 6 months, the development on Diablo 3, because, well, as I said, because the game has been so popular since its release, server issues have abounded with Diablo 3, in no small part because the game requires an always-on internet connection, which eats up a lot of, well, server space and connections, all that good stuff. But another problem seems to have arisen with the Diablo 3 that relates to servers, but also is a bit more problematic.
Yeah, now there's a game-breaking bug that's been occurring for people who, when they play as a demon hunter and they equip a shield to a Templar follower, they get a thing called Error 3006. Now, what is Error 3006?
Error 3006 is not really something you want to get, because it's an error which will boot the user from the Diablo 3 servers. As if that's not bad enough, it will then prohibit them from logging back in to the server and allowing them to continue to play the game.
Yes, this is being reported quite a bit, and it's actually now, well, as of the recording of this show, which we record
Thursday nights,
it's still a known issue. It hasn't had a patch or anything yet, so it's still, you're running the risk of getting this error when you're playing Diablo 3 right now.
It's known, there's no solution, not necessarily patch, just no workaround being offered at this current point in time.
Yes.
As of the recording of this show, as we need to stress. Because if you're hearing this a few days later, and there is one, you might think, well, what do they know?
What are they spreading that misinformation for?
Exactly.
Well, sorry, that's the time-sensitive nature of being on a weekly radio program.
These things happen. But yes, again, the process you want to avoid is if you are playing the game as a demon hunter, and you then go and equip a shield to one of your Templar followers. This is what...
Yes, don't do that.
...could very well cause Error 3006, which hopefully is also not the year they plan to have this fixed.
Yes, now this... I think this is a good time to bring up the discussion of how I think, and I think you agree with me on this, that video games... Well, game developers really get away with way too much these days in terms of letting problems slide.
It certainly seems as though there's been an increase in allowing sliding, or perhaps another way of phrasing is...
That maybe they're not testing enough.
Not testing enough, depending on the ability to patch stuff after the release.
Yes. Yes. Now, I always think about, you know, the classic console era days, or... the pre-internet proliferation days where, well, frankly, patches and things just never happened because once a game was released, that was it.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and if there were any bugs in the game, that's a bug in the game, I guess. Like, well, I guess you got to restart or whatever. But they were never to the point where it would just... totally ruin your gaming experience.
Certainly not. Well, the vast majority of them were not. We can't say...
Not every single one, but at least... Well, there's also the argument that games in times gone by have not been as complicated as they are now.
This is also true.
Which is very true. But I think this also stresses the importance of game testing and how good game testers should... Well... they're required, and perhaps they should be more, well...
Valued
as a legitimate position.
I think that's part of it, but I think also, too, what's going on with, I'm sure, a lot of the companies ties into one of the things we've seen as gaming has, well, grown and matured as a medium, is that we've seen games become larger, as you said, more complicated, more involved. There's a lot more to them, a lot more moving parts, if you will. But also they've become, along with that, much more expensive.
Yes.
And they take longer to develop. Again, Diablo 3, in development for a good long time.
Yeah, and as things become more expensive, people in turn get more antsy to see them released and see them start to get a return on their investment.
Exactly. You really can't have something, well, in development forever, constantly throwing money at it in the development cycle, the production cycle of it. And just with no end in sight, there has to be some end game for all the investors to, well, not constantly be throwing money at it anymore.
Yes.
And finally get it out. And I'm sure in some cases, we of course can't say how widespread it is, but I'm sure it happens where companies just do release a game before it's ready. Hence why when you fire up a game into your new console, be it your Xbox, your or a 360 or your PlayStation 3, there's updates to download right away.
Yeah.
Which, as being someone, like many of us, who has, grown up with games since the 8-bit console generation, I find that very annoying, because from my perspective, I want the game to work right out of the box.
Yes. Now, granted, if you're not connected to the internet, the game probably will work, and it'll work okay, but of course the patches are there to make the game better for you, but...
Or in some cases, they require those patches to work right away.
Yeah.
As I've had with some games on my Xbox 360.
Yes.
Very annoying.
Yeah, and I don't know, it just brings up an interesting talking point, and one we'd definitely like to open up to the public. If you have a strong opinion on this, please let us know. TheArcade@kick.fm, or drop us a line on our website, thearcadeshow.com.
There is certainly an art form to game testing, and we don't know what's happened, if game companies have maybe reduced the size of their game testing departments as a result of the, I guess, maybe ease and dependence on patching things after the fact, after release. Not impossible, and I can certainly see the business sense in that as well.
Yeah.
But again, this just really, I think, underscores the value for having a good game tester, which we should also say, game testing in itself, which used to be regarded as, when you're youngin', just the most, must be the most awesome job in the world.
Yeah, you get to play video games all day.
And you get paid.
Yeah, whoa. Whereas no, I think it bears repetition. Yeah, game testing is a real career, and it's not a fun job. Now, I'm not trying to dissuade from anyone from doing that, but it's a lot of work, and you would have to try to find bugs like this. You'd actively try to find bugs like this.
Your whole life becomes trying to break the game.
Yes. Now, that might be kind of fun, but of course, if you're doing that 8 hours a day for 5 days a week, or maybe even more, you probably wouldn't want to play video games much, but still, you would be those unsung heroes that make the games better for everyone, and yeah.
But you would go forward with the satisfaction knowing that because of your efforts, things like Error 3006 don't happen anymore.
Yes.
They are no longer issues for people, which, unfortunately, until such time as that day comes, Error 3006, still a problem. Still out there. And again, we'll say it one more time in case you missed it, forgot, didn't have a pen to write it down, or, again, were driving in your vehicle. How you incur Error 3006 and what you want to avoid doing is, if you are playing Diablo 3 as a demon hunter, it comes about if you equip a shield onto one of your Templar followers. It sounds very simple, something that is just entirely innocuous, and that you wouldn't regard as being problematic in the game. Just something that you should do as part of the general discourse of playing Diablo 3. Well, friends, don't do it. Avoid it like the plague. If you have that thought, stop yourself, smack yourself on the wrist, continue going.
Yes. But on to other stories that aren't game-breaking bugs.
That aren't game-breaking bugs, and other stories that we can actually take a bit of credit for.
Yes, we definitely would like to take credit for this one, as if you recall last week, we were talking about and lamenting the fact that there was no Avengers video game to correspond with the release of the Avengers, the mega hit movie.
Yes, the mega release that was, I guess, is the Avengers movie. And as we spoke of at the time, strange that such a big, summer blockbuster movie release like that wouldn't have a corresponding video game released on any and all consoles, mobile devices, iPads, Google Glasses, and whatever. As many things as it can be placed upon.
Yes, well, as it turns out, someone over at Ubisoft was listening to us.
So glad that they listened to us, and we thank them for listening to us, no doubt through the interwebs on our website, thearcadeshow.com, all the way over in, well, doesn't really specify which or studio specifically was listening. We'll assume all of them were, and yes, they are required listening for the folks at Ubisoft. We thank you, and we tip our hats to you. But the long and short of it is that they announced a few days later that after our show that they are, in fact, developing an Avengers video game.
Yes, which is, I don't know if it's a working title, progress, or title. I don't know if it's a working title, sorry.
There you go.
Or the actual title, but the one that the press has is Avengers Battle for Earth.
And it will be, has been announced to be coming out on the Xbox 360 and the Wii U.
Yes, which is kind of interesting.
So if you're hoping that you can get your hands on this title next week, next month, call me your horses there, buddy. No doubt it'll be timed perfectly for the release of the Avengers movie on DVD later this year. If, you know, the perfect marketing storm happens, as I envision it happening in my mind's eye.
Yes.
Now, so a bit of bad news, though. This is not an actual game that ties in with the Avengers movie.
No, it's just taking the franchise, the Avengers, as we know it from the movie, but taking another story from
the comic realm,
from the comic realm, and putting it into the game. So it is a totally foreign thing to the movie.
It is indeed. And if you're curious, if you're intrigued at all, apparently this Avengers game, Battle for Earth, will follow and play through the Secret Invasion storyline, the big Marvel comic event from a few years ago following the Skrulls as they invade Earth and, well, act as doppelgangers for a great many and pretty much invade almost every corner of Earth, S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, and well, it was a big to-do. Again, it was the big Marvel comic event of a few years ago, and it's now being transcribed into video game form, which is neat. Yes. Anytime you can get a big event, turn it into a video game. Maybe one day, in that vein, we'll see Civil War.
That would be awesome.
Turned into a video game, which would allow you to play as, I guess, the Iron Man side of the ledger or the Captain America side.
Yes, both of which had their main stories and their interesting and some not so interesting backstories. Side stories.
Indeed. Tie-ins, if you so will, but maybe one day we'll get that, but until that time, we'll have to do with Avengers Battle for Earth, and this game won't just have the Avengers that we saw in the movie as well. That won't be the team that you're limited to, as we spoke last week, and as a lot of you know out there, the Avengers pretty much has a rotating roster.
Yeah, there's been a great number of the Marvel character roster that has been, at one point in time, a member of the Avengers.
Indeed.
Of course, we all know Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, and Thor.
Indeed.
But Wolverine was at one point.
Wolverine was, Spider-Man, I believe, was She-Hulk was, if I recall as well. And there's been many different iterations, and then you could get into the, I guess, the
the Lady Avengers, which, if I'm not mistaken, was a thing as well at one point in time.
Or, along that line, perhaps even the West Coast Avengers with some of those characters, which I recall being an old comic. I have one of those at my house. Haven't looked at it yet. Really should. So then I can speak more authoritatively about the West Coast Avengers.
But you know, yes.
Until that happens, this game will allow you to, will feature 20 different characters from the Marvel Universe as well, and no doubt probably allow you to put forward any combination of Avengers team as you, well, so want to. Now, the thing about this game being on the Xbox 360 and Wii U is that it's going to, well, it's going to make use of motion controls. With the Wii U, that's to be expected because the thing is going to have the tablet controller.
Yes, and as such, it generated, what I think is probably one of the best marketing sentences ever for a video game.
That's weighty praise. It's yes. Better live up to it.
Now, it's not because it's so good, but because it's so marketing-ish. Now, if anyone who's ever done any sort of marketing or has worked with marketers before will hopefully agree with me, and hopefully I'm not way off base, but Tony Key, who is the Ubisoft VP of Sales and Marketing, told the Associated Press, and this is a direct quote, and he's talking about motion control.
Yes, why the game's going to have motion controls.
He says, "This is the perfect type of game for that, because these characters are very action-oriented. They're always fighting and throwing things. More marketing speak you can't cram into a single sentence."
Tony Key, you're the man.
Yes.
You're the man, cool guy.
But yeah.
See you at the beach.
Yeah, no release date's been announced yet for this, but we are watching... Well, keep your eyes to the E3 skies.
I suppose you could certainly do that. Now, in other literature, it wasn't mentioned in this one piece, but in other stories I read about this game, it was mentioned that not only will this version of the game on the Xbox 360 be Kinect-enabled, it will be requiring Kinect.
Yes.
So apparently when it comes to fighting and throwing things, you're going to have a fun time shadowboxing on your Xbox 360 with this thing.
Yes.
But you'll be the Hulk all raging out and throwing enemies at other enemies.
Yes. And, not looking like a total fool or anything.
I wonder if you can play this game wearing those big Hulk mitts. And wonder if that would work.
Oh, yes.
That would be the only way it works. Or if you can wear those Captain America or Iron Man masks that various toy stores and toy shelves have.
Yes, or, you know, holding the Captain America shield and et cetera, et cetera.
Now, if you are choosing to play through as Captain America in full Captain America adornment with the mask and shield as well, just remember, throwing your Captain America shield will not do anything other than destroy your television.
Yes, the same goes for Thor's hammer, Mjolnir.
Yes, and no, just the claw hammer that's in your garage or your parents' basement is not a suitable replacement for Mjolnir.
Yes.
It's just not going to happen.
Yes. Now,
it's no mythical weapon held by the gods and the people of Asgard. Sorry. No matter how many incantations you place upon it, it does not work.
Yeah.
The more you know. We should really get into the business of doing public service announcements. I think we'd be good.
Yes, ones related to Mjolnir, etc.
I'm out.
I have no more ideas, so maybe that wouldn't be a good idea.
Only those ones. But we'll move on to another story that is kind of the inverse of a lot of stories we've had over the last few weeks. It is not of a game's release date or announcement, but instead of a game's delay.
Yes. Now, we have mentioned in the past, little recent history of this program, about a South Park game that's supposed to be coming out, or was supposed to be coming out, I believe, near the end of this year.
Indeed, at least in the fall kind of holiday release window of this year, it was going to be a console release on your Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and it'd be different than what we saw of the online Xbox Live arcade game, South Park Tenderman's Revenge. This console release would see you take on the role of a new kid in town, in a full-on RPG game, as you play with the, well, Stan, Kyle, Kenny, and Cartman.
Yes, and with probably all the other people in South Park.
I'm sure at the very least Butters would be a playable character.
Yeah, and Randy Marsh would probably make an appearance at some point in time.
Exactly, as you go through the you know, South Park universe, but in the vein of an RPG. So that was something we spoke about a while ago, and we're hoping to see later this year and learn more information about it, but we did glean some new information, and it's just a brief snippet that, as I said, the game has been delayed. It was slated to come out later this year, but it's now been given, I guess, a more generic release window of sometime in 2013.
Yeah, sometime during the first 3 months of 2013. So it's sort of narrowed down, but it's not really narrowed down. So
sometime within the first quarter of next year, which is a 3 month span and could be any time during then.
Yes, it could be right at New Year's, could be, you know, towards spring, could be anything.
Could be January 1st or March, you know, 30th.
Yeah.
So anytime in there, which is really annoying. Not only that, it's not as though they pulled a BioShock Infinite and simply delayed the game to say that it needed more spit and polish on it. In fact, they didn't give a reason at all why the game's been delayed. Because apparently THQ, I'm going to go out on a limb, and doesn't know why the game's delayed.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not a result of poor financial happenings going on at THQ.
Yes, apparently they seem to be having a great many problems with their finances. This news of the South Park game delay came during one of their investor conferences, which they kind of gave out some other financial information, and outlook doesn't look good for them. But that is, you know, that's not really something we're terribly concerned with, considering we have a South Park game to focus our attention on.
Yeah.
Well, at least, well, somewhat our attention. I mean, we might get distracted between now and the first 3 months of next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost a year away at this point, so...
Yeah, pretty much is. If there's any further information about the South Park game, be it coming from THQ or Obsidian, the developer of the South Park RPG game, we will let you know, because, well, we want to know. And you deserve to know as well. Because simply leaving it as it's coming out sometime in the first 3 months of 2013, and we're not giving you a reason, really isn't good enough.
No, it's not. No, it's not good enough at all. I mean,
At the very least, lie.
Yeah.
And say it's because, you know, it needs more spit and polish.
Yeah. Or because there was a manufacturing error. Or because... You can make up any number of things. Elephants ransacked our office. Make up something awesome, at least, and have people talking about something. Like, come on.
I was going to offer up perhaps the age-old excuse of the dog ate my homework.
Yes, but elephants ransacked the office has much more weight to it, I believe.
Oh, yes, it does. Is that something you've used in your professional life at all?
Not yet, but I will, now that I think about it.
I'm going to hold you to that now.
Yes.
But hopefully when the South Park game comes out, it will be successful, though no way of telling if it will be as successful as another recent release on the Xbox 360 through the Xbox Live Arcade. This one being the... well,
the little indie game that could keeps doing.
Could, keeps doing. Proved to be very, very popular on the PC, and it's... well, its digital download equivalent on the Xbox Live Arcade has proven that the momentum doesn't stop for this game. Perhaps you figured it out. I'm speaking of Minecraft.
Yes, Minecraft, the title that really put Mojang Studios and 4J Studios, now with the Xbox 360, on the map. No one knew who they were before. Now everyone knows who they are.
And everyone wants to do business with them because apparently... they know where it's at.
Yes. Now, Minecraft on the Xbox Live Arcade, when it was released, within the first 5 days, set a record.
Set a record for the, well, the download record, or the sales record, for, well, for any game on Xbox Live Arcade. It's being, you know, its popularity record, if you will, within the first 5 days. It sold a goodish amount of units. Now, you'd probably think, oh, it was sold, what, you know, 50,000, maybe 100? Maybe 200,000 units in that time, max.
Yeah.
Considering the game's been so popular, so downloaded already, on the PC.
Yeah, and, you know, but even still, it's just an indie game, so it can't have that much reach.
Exactly.
Well, as it turns out, it sold 1 million copies in the first 5 days on Xbox Live Arcade. 1 million copies.
Woo!
Yeah, now to kind of make it a little bit more impressive... the game was selling for 1,600 Microsoft points, which translates out to about $20, which means, when you do the basic math, $20 times 1 million, that's about $20 million in a week.
In less than a week, actually. 5 days.
A business week.
A business week.
A Gregorian business week.
Even better. Like that.
No.
Which is an absurd amount of money, considering it's Minecraft... and this has just—it's snowballed.
Yeah,
this is.
It was an indie thing a bunch of people put together for fun and probably weren't expecting much out of.
No.
And then all of a sudden, it started doing well in the PC, and then it just that started thinking, hey, what else can we do with this? Let's do this. Let's do that. Hey, let's put it on Xbox Live Arcade. Hey, let's make a crap load of money on Xbox Live Arcade.
Hey, let's all retire to Tahiti.
Yeah, we're all millionaires now.
About this story, Minecraft creator and founder of Mojang, Mr. Marcus Notch Person, noted that the Xbox Live Arcade game was, quote, profitable in an hour, end quote. You know you've done something right when you can recoup your costs in an hour.
Yes, your entire development costs for a full Xbox video game
now
in 1 hour.
Now, if you're doing, you know, an Xbox Live Arcade game, and you recoup your development costs, or even if you're doing, say, a lemonade stand, if you can recoup your costs in an hour, you've done very well.
Yeah, I mean, building a lemonade stand's not cheap. You got to get a table, you got to get a sign, you got to get all the lemonade, and
exactly,
all the work that goes into the preparation of all the lemonade and everything. And to get that back in an hour, that's not a bad...
That's a lot of lemonade.
Yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves.
And if you kind of extrapolate from there, you'll be turning a profit after an hour. All you have to do is work for more than an hour and you're making profits.
It's a good day.
Yes.
It's a very good day.
But video games sell for a lot more than lemonade.
They sure do.
So when you make that much money back in an hour, perhaps you want to switch businesses.
It's entirely possible.
From lemonade, that is.
Of course. Microsoft Studios, said, in addition to... I guess Minecraft now taking the 5-day sales record and probably the, you know, record for fastest game to reach 1 million units sold, also said that the title did take the record for biggest 1-day sales or day one sales of any other title ever released on Xbox Live Arcade when it came out last Wednesday. Now, Microsoft themselves didn't give the actual numerical figure to coincide with that record that has now been bestowed upon Minecraft, but thanks to Mr. Notch Person and the power of Twitter, it was on his account that he revealed that the game sold 400,000 units in its first 24 hours.
Yes, now the previous fastest selling game was Red Lynx's Trials Evolution, which sold over 100,000 copies in the 24-hour period, which must have been awesome for them as well, but not quite as awesome, or clearly only one-fourth as awesome, as the Minecraft release.
Well, they thought they were having a good day. It's like they sold, you know, a few cups of lemonade, you know, at least a dozen cups of lemonade for them, the equivalent, of course.
Yes.
But then it's as though someone just... the big kid down the street moved in, and
it's like Coca-Cola bought up your whole lemonade company. It was just like, hey, we're going into mass production and done. Sweet.
Oh.
It's the hand of like one of the dragons from Dragon's Den just suddenly going, hey, let's all do this now and make a bunch of money. Sweet. I got Kevin O'Leary on my back. Nice. Like,
so certainly a tip of the hat to everyone at Mojang 4J Studios. And, you know what, even the custodians of Mojang Studios, because I'm sure they had some hand in this.
Yes.
In the ridiculously continued success of the new Xbox Live Arcade record holder for pretty much any kind of sales record you can imagine.
Yes.
Not, you know, full lifetime sales, I'm sure, but that's probably coming within the next 2 weeks.
Yes, though... one thing it might not be able to catch up to is Angry Birds.
No, and in fairness, Angry Birds did have a longer head start.
Yeah.
But the heights it has reached since then, astronomical.
Yes. We're speaking about another record-setting story now.
Yes, as we squeeze in one last news item here, if it seems like everyone you know has Angry Birds on their device, mobile device, computer, laptop, whatever, and plays Angry Birds, well, there's probably a reason for that, because everyone you know does have Angry Birds, because I'm sure almost everyone in the world has Angry Birds.
Yes, though.
It's coming close to it.
Now, why are we saying that?
Well, you see, it was earlier this month. It was actually late last week, in fact, that Rovio Mobile, the purveyors and bringers of Angry Birds to the world, went on to announce that the popular game, in both its original form, its various other incarnations, and the latest Angry Birds space title, have been downloaded more than 1 billion times.
Yes, billion with a B. That's 1,000 times 1 million.
A billion.
Yes, just let that number sink in.
That's a lot.
There's been a billion downloads of Angry Birds. Now, I'm sure that's not counting, like, the free online versions of Angry Birds, like through Facebook or what have you. That's just, like, downloaded, paid for.
Billion times.
Yes. Which means that Angry Birds cost $1. I don't know if that's necessarily counting the free versions of the game. I mean, which in and of itself is also an impressive feat, to have something download a billion times.
Exactly.
But if you're thinking purely in terms of dollars and cents, a billion times $1, it's $1 billion.
Huh.
That's a lot of money.
Considering this is ultimately just a game about flinging birds to smash structures and destroy pigs. Huh.
Yes.
Some things in this world just don't make sense. This is the opposite. This is the good opposite of things that don't make sense. You know, the good opposite of the robotic ass that we spoke of earlier. Now, this is especially impressive considering that Angry Birds Space, the sequel to the initial Angry Birds title, released in March, and in just 3 days alone, that game went on to sell 10 million... Or had 10 million downloads, I should more specifically say.
Yes.
Now, this isn't an overnight success. The original Angry Birds did launch back in 2009, and they've been plugging away at it since then on pretty much every device you can think of, be it iOS, Android, web browsers like Google Chrome, and even the PlayStation 3 as well. So it seems to have worked its way up.
Yeah.
Can we even consider Angry Birds anymore as the little game that could?
No, you can't. They're a big thing. They've had tie-ins with the Disney movie. They're big.
They're now the big game that will.
Yeah, they're what every little game developer can aspire to, though.
I think that's very safe to say. So Angry Birds, 1 billion downloads. It's So yes, it is a phenomenon.
Yep.
So there you go. But it seems that all the time that we have spent talking here has caused us to run low on the amount of time we have left in the course of this week's program. So perhaps we should quickly get to the blast from the past for this week.
Yes, this week it's a musical album from 1992, which you've probably never heard before. But if you're a Canadian, you've probably heard one of the songs before. As it was by, well, in specific, a Winnipeg band, the Crash Test Dummies. Did a cover by it.
Yes.
A cover of it, of all things, for the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack way back in the day. But,
which doesn't make sense.
No, but yes, the band is XTC, the album is Nonsuch, and it opens with the track The Ballad of Peter Pumpkinhead, which you're probably thinking, that was a cover? And yes, it was.
Don't worry, don't feel bad that is your first reaction of, that was a cover? That was mine too, and yes. And then think about it, Crash Test Dummies covered that for the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack.
Yeah. But yes.
But that's not the only good song on the album.
Yes, there's plenty of good songs on the album.
A great many good songs, and a lot of them seem to have a heavy influence and or are outright taken from the Brian Wilson playbook and have heavy influence from Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, and Beatles as well.
Yes. So,
But done with an 80s pop sensibility. Very, very entertaining. Well worth listening to. Even you turned me on to it, which doesn't happen all the time.
I'm the metal guy, but I also have a soft side.
Aww. If only we had a sound effect for that.
Yeah.
Burr, 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 burr. It's not like you just lost a game on Price is Right.
Yes, the price is wrong.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. But Nonsuch by XTC. Find it. Listen to it. enjoy it.
Yes.
And we will expect a full report on your listings of XTC's Nonsuch album, perhaps in time for next week's edition of The Arcade, as we will be back with you again next Friday, next Sunday, or perhaps any other day you want to listen to us, because you can find this program, last week's program, next week's program, and every other program we have for you on our website, thearcadeshow.com. Or if you don't have a computer, you can keep listening to us right here on 92.9 KIK FM, Winnipeg's indie station. Just always make sure you have it locked to the station, and you will hear us at some point. We're great filler for the station, and we pride ourselves on that. But if you want to let us know how much you enjoy XTC's Nonsuch album, email us, thearcade@kick.fm, or drop us a line on our website, thearcadeshow.com. So until next week, everybody, good night.
Good night.